Hello, it's Robert Bathurst here. I was one of the first guests on My Time Capsule, and Mike has asked me to tell you that you can now listen to the podcast ad-free by subscribing to Acast Plus. Details of how to join are in the description of each episode. Mike says it's very reasonably priced. In fact, Mike says it's a bargain. And who am I to disagree, locked here in his cellar? Anyway, for a small subscription, Acast Plus, My Time Capsule, ad-free. Free. Unlike me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Fenton-Stevens, and welcome to My Time Capsule. My Time Capsule is the podcast where people tell me the five things from their life that they would choose to put in a time capsule. They pick four things that they cherish and one thing that they loathe, something they'd like to bury in the ground and never have to think about again. My special guest in this episode is the actor and improviser Tony Slattery, who burst out of the Cambridge footlights in the early 1980s, along with Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie and Emma Thompson. In fact, he starred alongside Emma Thompson and Robert Lindsay in the West End hit Me and My Girl. He was a regular on the improvisation TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway? And appeared in the films Peter's Friends, which also starred several of his old footlights pals, The Crying Game, Carry On Columbus and To Die For. He hosted the quiz show Trivial Pursuit, was in Red Dwarf, That's Love, Just a Gigolo, Coronation Street, Grumpy Old Men, Kingdom, Life Begins, and, well, loads more. But Tony suffered what he called a midlife crisis, triggered by cocaine and excessive drinking. He spent 6 months living as a recluse, not answering his door or telephone. Eventually, a friend persuaded him to go to hospital, where he was diagnosed as suffering with bipolar disorder. He famously discussed this with Stephen Fry on the TV documentary The Secret Life of the Manic Depressive, and also made the Horizon special What's the Matter with Tony Slattery? So, a complicated life, but he's a very sweet man, as I hope you'll discover now, as we find out the things he would choose to put in a time capsule. So it's been quite a while since we've met, hasn't it? In fact, I've just reminded you, I think, of the last time, and it made you shudder.
Oh, yes. You mentioned, I think, a film, which was Lady Godiva Back in the Saddle.
Mm-hmm.
And were you in it as well as me? Because I can't remember being in it. It's true.
Well, I do remember he used to say at about 11 o'clock at night, I'm just going to pop out for some cigarettes. And then we'd see you coming back to the hotel for the pickup in the morning.
So what was I doing in the meantime?
I wish I knew.
Okay, I think I was sleeping on the set. Do you remember that the entire crew of that film, which is not widely known, was Tamil? And they were delightful, but didn't speak a word of English. And so that made the production slightly difficult. And who was Lady Godiva? It was the lady from...
Steps. Faye from Steps with the curly hair.
It was Steps, and she was lovely. But the whole atmosphere was slightly bemused.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure it got a theatrical, you know,
No,
No.
Although we were invited to Coventry for a premiere.
Okay, you've got me there because my memory's a bit shot. Did we go?
I went because actually they were putting us up in quite a nice hotel.
In Coventry?
Well, just outside Coventry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
That sounds quite regionalist. Not in Coventry, but just outside, you know. But I got to see the bombed cathedral, which was the best start of the shoot.
Yes.
But that really didn't enter into the fabric of the film.
No, sadly.
Sadly indeed.
I've actually abseiled down the front of the new cathedral at Coventry.
Now, that's just showing off.
That is just showing off.
You didn't really, did you?
I did, yes.
Oh, goodness.
It's terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, for a television show, I had to play somebody who was one of those high-flying window cleaners.
I'm sorry, you've lost me.
Yes.
A show about high-flying window... Oh, is you... Oh, no, I get you.
The show wasn't about me.
Right, so it wasn't about personal achievement.
No.
It was about personal
It was
people.
About somebody stupid enough to go up there who was killed.
Right.
Yes.
And who cleaned windows at a high level.
Yes.
So it wasn't people who had been at a low level, but had extended to become CEO. Right.
I'm gotcha. Now a top-level window cleaner.
Yes.
No.
Viper's Nest, or whatever it's called.
Viper's
Dragon's Den.
Dragon's Den. Yes. Viper's Nest is a better name for
hey,
it.
Hey, actually, that's not bad.
Or if like, it was about window cleaning, it could be Viper's Nest.
You win. You win.
So, Tony.
Okay.
It's lovely to see you again. And like most of the country, I've always been a great fan of the things you've done in your time.
I think you do me too great a compliment, but thank you, I'll accept it.
Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you didn't realise that we all did. It's a long way back, but anybody who saw your work, even as a student, I remember thinking, my God, that bloke's capable.
Of what?
We should explain that we are in a hotel room and I am sitting on the bed.
Are we? Mm. How dare
you? Get out. What the hell are you doing in my hotel room?
Yes.
But I am sitting on the bed and I do have one foot on the floor, so everything will be fine.
I'm pleased.
Okay, so we're going to explore through your life and find five things that you treasure from it.
Okay. Gosh. I like improv when it's really improv and not rehearse. So I decided not to overthink things because that leads to procrastination and nothing gets done. Mm. So I'm just going to fly off here. Sound very pretentious, but okay. My first childhood memory, because it's a bit murky actually, for reasons I haven't really discovered and perhaps don't want to discover, is jumping over my mum in the back garden and breaking my arm, and she carried me in her arms to the nearest hospital, and yeah.
And that's a really vivid memory.
Yes.
Yeah. How old would you have been?
I would have been about, I would say, three.
Three. See, there are not many memories for people of being the age of three, I think.
No, but I guess not, but that stuck.
Mm. So was your mother that sort of person? Was she very protective?
Well, she was protective when I broke my arm and in
but not
pain.
Before. Yes.
Well, I don't remember the before bits because there are no photographs.
Ah, why?
I don't know.
I suppose it was a rare thing to take photographs of people, or do you think they were lost or destroyed?
Again, I don't know. I once asked my late sister why there were no photographs of me when I was a baby or before three, whereas my brothers, who were triplets, obviously had lots of photos, and they were in the local press and things like this.
Mm.
And my late sister said that they were too busy with everything, and that wasn't, to use the modern parlance, dissing them. It's just they weren't.
No.
But there are no memories except from that incident.
Mm. So how long would it be then before your memory starts to actually form. Is that school age?
Yes, that's right.
Right. So that's extraordinary that that jumps out. Do you think it's because it was a rare thing? I don't know, to be that thing of being carried all the way there by your mother. Was she a huggy mother? Was she demonstrative?
In a sense, she was an archetypal, even though that sounds dismissive, but she was. She was a Gaelic matriarch. And so I had my triplet brothers, I had my sister. So that is a clear memory of being carried to the hospital shortly before my mother's... No, it was my sister's death. She told me that I had also another sister who in... The phraseology of the times was not shown to my mother because she was not perfectly formed.
Right. She died at birth, did she?
She was not shown to my mother, which is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because also there was the thalidomide thing going on, which in a really ironic, dreadful way, is now a drug that is being used in really useful ways for other conditions, but wasn't understood then to be tetragenic.
Yes. My mother-in-law took thalidomide to help her during her pregnancy. I think she took it past the point where it may have caused problems, but how close is that?
Yes, the... extent of defects were different. I remember being in infant school where there was a kid who had severe deformities because of that drug. And it was thought to be a miracle drug at the time. And he was mocked. And that was terrible. I knew at a young age, like, 8 or 9, I knew that was really sad, that he was mocked and it wasn't his fault. But I kind of just, if there is a golden lining to the cloud, it's found other uses. It's been, what is the phrase, repurposed.
Mm. Yes, amazingly.
Amazingly.
Yes.
And on the best advice there was at the time, because it's not... pregnant mothers puking.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Mm. So I'm going to take it from breaking your arm. I do have a singular memory from early childhood, which is separate from all my other memories, which is actually looking out of my pram at my mother with one of those plastic hoods that women used to wear to protect their hair if it rained.
Oh.
And her pushing me in my pram. I know it was one of those large, old-fashioned prams.
Right.
And I, of course... I think it's the feeling of being warm and safe, my mother pushing me along, and it's a very vivid image that I have.
Indeed. Mm. And it's imprinted, I guess, and that feeling of enclosure and comfort. Which way round was the pram?
I was facing
her. Ah, right.
Yes. And I wonder, in fact, if that's the reason we all sort of stick with those memories and why they stick in our head. So for you, you fall over, you break your arm. And a three-year-old, you're too young to understand that sort of pain, I think. But then your mother carrying you all the way to the hospital, that's quite a journey.
It is, and it is memorable, and I don't think it's necessarily Oedipal. It's just an impressed memory.
Mm.
It's not, I don't think, mother love, because I don't think I was ever a mummy's boy. I was always, I think... Yeah, a solo person.
So were you solo through school? Did you have lots of friends?
Oh, I had one. Sorry, I don't know why we're suddenly out of question time. One! No, I was never bullied.
No.
I was quite solitary, but I had friends.
Mm. See, I would imagine that you were very popular because you were funny. Were you funny as a teenager, or did you discover that when you went to university?
I don't know. The hubristic or loud, but I was. I made people laugh.
Yeah.
I did.
Yes.
And sometimes deflected. I know that's a cliche as well, but it did deflect potential bullying. But also, you know, I was quite a, you wouldn't think, you know, but I was quite a sporty type, and I was a black belt in judo at an early age. So there was a bit of me which could say, I don't like the way you're behaving to me. Don't fuck with me. Otherwise, I'll break your legs. And that sounds awful.
That would work, I think. So you did you sort of breeze through school, do you think? Or did you just make it through? Because actually, I suppose, if you look at it, you ended up getting a place at Cambridge. Mm. So that, to me, would suggest that you were reasonably happy at school and successful.
I was reasonably happy at big school, as they used to call it then, and I made some friends. I got very few poor O-levels because I was interested in judo and rugby, and then I got interested in languages, and that's why I got my A-levels and the Cambridge entrance exam and got half a scholarship and half an exhibition. And then I got into Trinity Hall, and they were three glorious years. Yes, they so, really were.
I'm sure they were. So you didn't come from money then?
Oh, Christ, no.
The fact that your mother had to carry you all the way to hospital.
Indeed.
Rather than getting the chauffeur to take her.
That's right, yes. Christ's chauffeur in heaven is a particularly neglected book of Old Testament.
I think it's the one that the Catholic Church rejected in the 7th century.
One of many, I hope.
Yes, the Gospel according to Gareth. Well, then we have to talk a bit about your time at Cambridge, because it's just such a defining thing for you, isn't it? I mean, it's where your life, I suppose, the direction of your life was sort of set. You're a linguist. Was your intention to go there and then work in the Foreign Office?
Oh, I think in the beginning I just enjoyed languages, and I think a bit of me in my dreams wanted to be a crusty old don with the keys to the port cellar. And then I got sidelined by performing.
Mm.
And so I got a 2-2 in the end, and they expected a starred first, and I was very disappointed. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, Emma Thompson and Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie and these brilliant people, and I learned so much from them. And they were so kind to this, you know, short, sturdy whippersnapper who could be funny and they're all poshies.
Well, yes. Now, there's an interesting thing, isn't it? The idea of going off to Cambridge, and did you go there thinking, they're never going to let me in? Not really.
There was a bit of that, but I also thought, when I first visited Cambridge, which was just on a school trip.
Mm.
And, you know, I was brought up in a council estate before that, whatever could my mum and dad could afford, which was, you know, slum clearance stuff, did brilliantly to bring up all these children. When I went up, of course, it was like Disneyland in a way. I was 14 and I thought, oh, my God, look at the beauty of this place. And that's what drove me.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
It's astonishing. Even to this day, the college is owning the rights to the street lighting, I always think, is interesting.
That's right. And there are other, well, no, what you say is truth, but the other legends are, you heard at the time, was, you know, you can't ride donkeys over the lawns of Trinity Hall, and that goes back to 1722. And the problem was,
you didn't have a donkey.
One, that's true, but also, two, it's true.
ridiculous.
Yes.
They always said those strange things, didn't they? Like, do you know you could walk from here to Oxford without leaving college land?
That's right. Without leaving Trinity College land.
It's astonishing.
Something like that.
That's one particular
Yeah,
college.
I mean, I think there are lots of spoofy things about it. And there are lots of true things. But it was principally the architecture.
Mm. Yes. I can understand how that would make you fall in love with the place and think, right, okay. I'm
yes.
And that put the seed in your mind.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And that's why I dropped sport and started to A-levels and then entrance exams, then lots of interviews with really crusty professors in very dark rooms, some with candles firing nasty questions at me.
So having made your mind up that that was the thing, did you have to ask your school, can I take the entrance exam?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Did you have to stay on at school to do that?
Yes. And then it was a strictly supervised and very difficult. And I did some of it pretty well, but a couple of them. Now, this sticks in my mind. A couple of them I just got so wrong. And so in the interviews where... The dons, the professors in the various interviews kept turning lights on because I couldn't translate something. Mm. And then when I got something, they said, well, these are clear scholarship marks, but in this paper, you're dismal. How do you explain this discrepancy? And all I thought of was the truth. I was having an affair with a math teacher.
and I
lost my concentration.
I wonder what you were going to lose there.
No, I lost the translation thing because, oh, you bring it all back to me. It was because right. I mistook a Spanish translation from García de Lorca and it was gambas. And it was stockings, but I wrote, and this was passed round apparently, to make them laugh. I thought prawns. So I thought, this is surrealist. She's got prawns up her legs.
Gambas.
Yes.
That's exactly.
That's right. But it was wrong. It was gamboris or something. I don't know. She entered with her legs covered in prawns.
Either this boy is a genius.
or we should shoot him.
Well, of course, the answer is, the reason I got it wrong is because I haven't completed my degree at Cambridge yet. Give me a chance.
Oh, well, yeah. And they did.
And they did. And so then being diverted by performing, so did you start performing in plays first then?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, there are school plays. I think, you know, lots of people would relate to that. But at Cambridge, I was in what is widely regarded, apparently, anecdotally, as the funniest production, sorry, it's just come back to me, of Marlowe's Edward II.
Not a funny play.
It's not really a funny play, but one, there were the costumes. I was Edward II, and it was kind of a Hessian costume thing going on. So we all looked a bit like Morris dancers, and the battle scenes were always like with big sticks, which exacerbated that. And then when I was. And this was on the first night, right? Oh God! when the red hot poker was stuffed up my fundament, I was told to let out a scream, which I did, and then the lights were. This was in the ADC theatre.
Yes.
The lights were meant to come down, but they didn't. And so, and then my pants caught fire. And then the two executioners were seen in full light going...
Oh, my God.
And that's true. That's what I remember.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, the joy of it.
The joy, exactly. He retrieved the joy from the pain.
Yes, but then you go to the pub, you laugh. And I suppose your comic ability with Red Hot Pokers was...
Oh, don't tell us, Mike. Don't blame me.
But that was spotted. So were you then invited to join the Footlights, or did you think, no, I'll have a go, I'll go and join the Footlights? Because that's a big decision to make, isn't it? Because you are looking at an organisation that, rightly or wrongly, you probably regarded as being an enclave of, as you say, the poshies.
That's interesting. You said that, Michael, because I didn't know. I just heard the name, and I thought it was a review society to be... someone who's funny. And so that's why it wasn't a kind of thrusting...
I'll go and get them.
Yeah.
No.
It really wasn't. I just did an audition in front of Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry, and it was myself and the brilliant Richard Vranch, mm-hmm. and we just did some silly stuff. That's it. And then we had to audition again. And then I got into a thing which turned into the Sellotapes.
Yes.
Which still actually stands up.
It certainly does.
It's so silly and fun.
I saw the Sellotapes.
Oh, what night. I saw
it when you performed it at the Oxford Playhouse.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Oh.
Isn't that lovely?
That is really...
And around the same time... I auditioned for the Oxford Review.
Oh.
With completely the idea that sounds fun.
That's it. Peter Cook. Right, I don't know, you just made me think. Peter Cook. I got the Footlights because I was president of Footlights in its centenary year. And I got really drunk with Peter Cook in the Eagle Pub. And when it was still 3 p.m. closing time... it was Peter Cook, and he said, "Oh, Tony, what do you want to do?" I said, "I was thinking of going to show business." And his response that I do remember, "Oh, give it a fucking whirl."
And you did.
I tried.
Yeah. Oh, God, how fantastic. What a brilliant piece of advice.
And indeed. Why not?
You're never going to say no to somebody like that, are you?
No, no. I was in awe.
Of course, yeah.
And he was being wistly at the time.
Well, I'm going to find something from that time to put into the time capsule that will remind you of that period. And I have to say that for me it has to be a young lady with prawns all up her leg.
Was handed round Don's. They were apparently they were pissing themselves, but also with derision.
I should imagine.
Because I thought it was Goya or Picasso or Gaudi or Jesus.
Lovely. All right. Well, I mean, I could talk to you about that time on and on, but we'll move on.
OK, we're going to take a short break from my chat with Tony now for what is sometimes an ad break, sometimes just me talking about our sponsor, and occasionally a bizarre but brief silence. I'll be back after whichever one of those it is.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue.
Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome back, which always sounds really weird if it was just the silence. Okay, let's get back to Tony Slattery and discover what else he wants to put in his time capsule.
What I think is gorgeous is that not long after having done that, as a group of students, going to Edinburgh, being lauded, I think you were the... was it the first show to win the Perrier Award?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was the first Perrier Award.
Yes.
What did we get? Not, as it became later, 40 grand each. We got a case of fucking Perrier. And then we had a West End transfer to where? A 40-seater theatre in Hampstead called the New End Theatre. Which was, in a way, appropriately, a renovated morgue. That's what we did.
Yes. But a few years earlier, you would have been at the Fortune and you would
have... oh, something like that.
You would have taken the world by storm.
Or later.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, charmed. So you've moved on from that. But the great thing, I think, is that not long after that, there is that group of friends, add in a few talented people like Imelda Staunton and Rita Rudner, and there you are making Peter's Friends. This is us when we were students.
Well, I still like the film. I like the soundtrack. I play an oafish fool in it, so that's typecasting in a way. But I hadn't seen Emma or Stephen or Hugh for about 8 years.
Mm.
And I auditioned for Ken Neth, who was the director, and it was glorious to meet them after all that time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frozen in time, and it still stands up, and it's humorous. And
so that 8 years of coming out of university, I went to see an agent at Noel Gay.
Oh, yes.
Just after you joined them. And they did say to me, oh, marvellous, because we've just signed up a young fella called Tony Slattery, and he can't possibly do all the work he's being offered. I didn't go with Noel Gay.
Who was the agent? Richard or
Richard
his son?
Richard Armitage, yes.
Yes. You went stellar with Radioactive and all that, didn't you?
Yes, but I was looking for an agent and I thought, so, well, I'm not sure I want to be your...
I don't want to be associated with that light entertainment tart. You're quite right.
It was fantastic watching your career, though, at that point.
Oh, you ride the wave, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah, but West End musicals and television shows, all sorts of things going on, and just everybody lauding you. And then for all of us, there's that thing where if we didn't know you personally, everybody thought, where's Tony gone?
Mm.
Where had you gone?
I think... I worked too much. I did drugs. To come down from the drugs, I took alcohol to excess. I lost sense of myself, but I did good things as well. But then, and this isn't, I really don't want it to sound self-pitying, it's just... went off the rails. Yes.
Mm. And how long were you off the rails, do you think?
Quite a few years, yes.
Mm. So what brought you back, do you think?
My partner of 37 years, my other half, his name is Mark Bernard Hutchinson. He is my rock and my... saviour and my love for all time.
Mm. How did you meet?
About 1986, we were in a musical called Me and My Girl, and we didn't talk to each other about 6 months. And then there was one time in the lift going up to our dressing rooms in between me starting the second half with the big tap number. the sun has got his hat on. And I did it and I pulled it off. And we looked a little too long into each other's eyes. That's it. And I know that sounds cheesy, but that's exactly how it started. So we've been together about 36 years now.
No, I don't think it sounds cheesy. I think it's lovely. I think also very true. I think it is that moment when you look, you dare to look.
Yes. Or you can't help.
No.
And with life partners, it either happens or it doesn't.
Yes.
And you can't pretend. And without him, I'd be dead. There's no question. I would leap in front of a flying bullet for him. Although he said, no, don't do that. Avoid the flying bullet. Let's all live a bit longer.
Well, I think anybody who's been lucky enough to have a life partner remembers those moments. They're very clear in your memory, aren't they?
Yes, they really are indelible and imprinted. And they're not kind of retrospective, fantastical moments. You think, oh, no, that fucking well happened.
Mm. The great thing is that every now and again, without you expecting it, you'll be taken by surprise by it happening again with the same person. Not with someone else. That would be pretty bad. But every now and again, I think in my life, I've been aware of just catching my wife's eye.
Oh, that is so sweet and true. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I catch Mark's face in a still state, and it's like I'm back there.
Mm.
In the lift, and it's very moving.
How lovely. So we're going to think of something that will remind us of that, that we can put into the time capsule.
Oh, okay. Yes. We've rather wandered away.
No, that's all right, wandering away, but I'm having talked around a subject, I then like to find a thing that even when you open it up... At the end of time, when you open the time capsule...
Well, at the end of time, there wouldn't be a time capsule...
Now, that's complicated.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I met Stephen Hawking once.
Did you?
Yeah.
So did I.
Hey, because he was at Trinity Hall.
And did you have a conversation with him?
No, we exchanged a few words.
Mm. Do you remember them?
I think he might have said, get out of my way.
I saw Stephen Hawking after a performance of pantomime at the Arts Theatre in Cambridge.
Oh, yes.
Which he was a big fan of pantomime.
Oh.
And I was aware that he was in, because every now and again, after the audience had done it, you would hear this voice go, he's behind you.
No.
I know. He thought, oh, my word. And then afterwards, a very lovely lady came to the door and said, my husband would like to meet you. Is that okay? And I said, yeah, sure. Where is he? And I didn't know who her husband was.
Right.
We went to this large people carrier and the door was slid open and there he was.
Wow.
And he'd programmed into his voice thing in advance something that I think may be one of the greatest moments of my life. He said, you were brilliant.
Oh, Lord.
And I said, for somebody like you to say that I was brilliant.
Oh, good God.
I was brought to tears.
Well, as am I now. I bet you could understand it, but me, I tried, I finished it, A Brief History of Time. I understood, I would say, maybe about a hundredth.
I like letting the words wash over me.
Whoa.
Yeah. No,
Well, handful of tomato pan, thank God. Because otherwise it's
everything's
too
all right
much.
Again.
Everything's all right again.
Lovely. I mean, I know it seems to be a large object, but I'm going to put the lift from the backstage of the Adelphi Theatre on the Strand.
That's right.
Yes. And put it into your time capsule so that when it's a large time capsule, it's fine. When you open it up, there will be that lift and you can step into it and look straight into Mark's eyes.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know, I love having this power.
With power comes great...
responsibility.
No, coupons.
Oh, my word. Okay, so that's we've put in three things, really. So we want to find one more thing from an area of your life. So,
okay. Do you know, what are the parameters of that question?
Anything. It could be yesterday.
Okay, in later life, which is really important to me, it's telling my partner, Monk, on the telephone that I love him.
So are you often apart?
Yes.
Mm. It's strange, that thing, isn't it, of being apart and trying to communicate with someone.
Yes, it is. And it can cause tension. Mm. But when you get together, there's bonded together with hoops of unbreakable steel.
Hmm. That's a very good thing to think of, I think. Because so many people will be away from people or not spend time with people, and then they ring them and they say, yes, we went to the cinema. I read a book the other day. They'll just tell them things.
That's it. The quotidian, often just normal things.
But they do forget to say important things.
Yes.
Very good. All right, we have one thing to put into the time capsule, which is something you want to reject from your life. Now, I don't know. I mean, whether that period in your life where you went off the rails, you may well have been having the time of your life, for all I know.
No.
No.
Completely the opposite.
Mm.
Very solitary.
Did you feel that there was no one you could turn to?
It's not that I felt, it's just I didn't even think of someone to turn to, which is, I guess, Michael, a different thing. The one thing I'd like to forget is Diane Abbott.
Why, particularly?
It's just an opinion.
It's just an opinion, yeah. Okay, she's gone.
She's back. Oh, hello, Diane, I didn't mean it. Put your clothes on, for God's sake. George Galloway, what are you doing here? Jesus, where did you buy that?
That one's so big. Oh, Tony, how lovely it's been to talk to you.
Likewise.
It's really lovely to see you again and to see you with the same wit and humour and passions that I always knew you had and enjoyed seeing in you every time we met.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to My Time Capsule with me, Mike Fenton-Stevens, and my guest, Tony Slattery. This was a cast-off production for Acast. The producer was John Fenton-Stevens. You can follow My Time Capsule on most social media, and you can subscribe to the show on all major podcast providers. If you do, then it really helps a podcast's growth if you take a second to rate the show. If you also find the time to write a review, then that would be marvellous. And you can download the theme tune written by Pass the Peas Music on Spotify. Our next episode is one that was called for by all our followers. Well, at least 10 of them, so actually, statistically, an unimportant gaggle of tweeters. But the devil is always in the details, so to keep them happy, we will not ignore them, whoever they are. Now, what am I talking about? That is not an uncommon question in my life. I am talking about the fact that when we did our double episode with the great Barry Cryer, several people said, "What about Graham Garden?" What a great idea, I thought. But I haven't managed to get him yet, so next week it's Colin Sell. And he's bloody brilliant. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.